This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and today I'm joined by a repeat guest who was on in episode 41. So this is episode 91. I think that's some mileage. We should have maybe had you back a bit sooner than this, Bob. But welcome to the show, Bob Gentle. How are you doing, mate?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for having me. And yeah, I won't take it personally that you put me off this long.
Well, look, it's like, 51 episodes? It's basically a year. This is going to become our annual thing. I'll see you in episode 143. Let's just go straight there.
Send me a calendar invitation. I'll be there.
Fantastic. So Bob and I actually know each other quite well because we've met in real life. I mean, I can't say that.
Several times.
Indeed. You keep on showing up like a bad penny. and Bob's been on a whole journey, I think, since the last time we spoke. So, we do have something that we want to talk about in this episode, but do you want to give kind of the potted history of who you are and where you've come from and what you do?
Well, I would be very happy to, but I apologize in advance because I have a habit of running away with my words. So basically, my name is Bob Gentle, and I guess if you'd met me 5 years ago, or pretty much just before we met for the first time, Pete, mm-hmm. I was at the tail end of running quite a large agency. I was rather fed up with it, and I've reflected on why I was fed up with it quite a lot. But simply put, it just felt like a hamster wheel, and it was never ending. And my agency had become a sales organization. The only reason it existed at the size it was to keep everybody fed and watered. And it meant I wasn't really doing what I enjoyed anymore. I would become the head of sales. I was just out on the road all the time, knocking on doors and trying to win business at all costs, on reflection. And to cut a long story short, I decided I didn't really want to do that anymore. I wanted to look at what was my unique value that I was bringing to relationships with customers, and how could I properly bring that to the people who needed it. A crude way of putting that might be bring it to market. That wasn't really my perspective, because where I was quite good at sales. It was quite easy to find new customers. But what I wanted to make sure was that I was giving the right value to the right people that I wanted to work with. So fast forward to now, looking back a few years ago, the majority of my business was websites. Because it's a big chunk of revenue. It's quite easy to sell. It's something you can put in a box. Whereas now my business is almost exclusively around the digital marketing space, consulting around digital marketing. And I do that for various types of business. So the three layers of that, probably the top tier is I work doing some corporate consulting. A lot of the time that's for people that are in the creative industry, so people like large printing companies who mm-hmm. want to bring a digital strategy to their customers on the one hand, but they also want to properly leverage digital marketing themselves. Mm-hmm. Often I get called in to work with them because there's no internal capacity at all. The next tier down is I work with sort of SMEs, small local businesses. Actually, they tend to be all over the country. But again, I'm working on the strategic layer. Not very often working in an execution capacity. So, and a lot of the time I'm working with an existing marketing team to help them be more strategic. They might be very good at tactical execution, but they're not so good at joining it all up with everything they could be doing and what they should be doing.
Yep.
So that's, from my perspective, that's pretty vanilla. It's just swapping one large customer for another. The bit of the business that I enjoy the most and where I'm putting the most effort at the moment, hopefully none of my larger customers are listening, is what I'm calling the Amplify groups. So my agency is called Amplify. And that really has been a rebrand since we first met, to really emphasize that my business is really about making you bigger. And the people who I enjoy doing that most for are micro businesses. So very, very small businesses. A lot of the time it's really one, two man bands. where they're never really going to have the wherewithal to engage with an agency. And they certainly aren't going to have the wherewithal to engage with an agency that can make an impact for them, because they're never going to have the budgets. And those people who would take their money are typically the kind of agencies that are in the business of taking money rather than delivering value.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of people that phone you up and say, we can make you number one in Google, that's the kind of company these businesses can afford. So that side of the business is blossoming. I love it. It's where I can actually see myself having a direct impact very quickly. And it's great fun. So, sorry, that's, I said I'd give you a long answer. That's the long answer.
No, that's absolutely fine, and it does give a good insight into sort of the journey that you've been on. I was trying to think as you were talking. I think it's been about 2.5 years ish since we first met, and maybe not quite that long, 2 years or so. And I seem to remember the first time we met. Your intro was, "Hey, I'm Bob Gentle, and I run a digital agency, but I've stopped selling websites." And so literally I've been a friend of yours as you've been on that journey yourself. And it's great to see that you're sort of that you found a niche that is normally the niche that most people try and steer away from, which is micro businesses with very little budget.
I know. And I was recently reflecting on this, that, yeah, everybody else is running the other way. And they're trying to climb up the value chain, metaphorically speaking. And I think that's right. But the higher up the value chain you get, the less oxygen there is. And actually, if you did look the other way, for every one business that employs five people, there are 100 that employs one. And by looking the other way, there's so much opportunity. But the challenge is you have to know what you're talking about. Because when you have a large client, they don't really expect immediate results. They don't expect transformation. They're really just looking for you to come and fill a gap. And I'm being crude, but you're a line item on a budget that, as long as your line item is small enough, it's not going to get anybody's attention. You're going to keep getting paid. Whereas with a very small business, you better deliver value. Otherwise, they're out. So what it means is that if you actually have value to bring, you can find a ready audience there. If you don't have any value to bring, forget it. You won't last very long. But I guess that's why I had to work quite a long time working at, well, what's the product going to be? Because if you're winning clients at £150 a month, you can't spend that much time on them. You have to deliver that value really quickly and efficiently. And that's why working with them as groups on their own independence and self-sufficiency has been so effective. That I'm not doing their digital marketing, but I'm helping them discriminate between, okay, here's the 1,000 things I could do. They're paralyzed through the analysis of the potential things they could be doing, and they end up doing nothing. So by just helping them identify what are the ninja pressure points that they should focus on right now, suddenly all that potential that they have themselves is released into action. And as you know yourself, action trumps everything in digital marketing and marketing in general. If you're moving, you're probably succeeding. If you're standing still, you're achieving nothing.
Yep.
So simply getting people to move is often enough.
You're dead right. I've worked for agencies as well that they, you know, their approach is, this is our model. You fit our model, you will succeed. And actually what happens with those types of businesses is that they're basically trying to upscale their services to a point at which they are selling them to the people that will pay the highest amount of money. And then you're right. It just becomes a cash transaction. And eventually you'll start hitting people that will then kill your services because you're poking your head above that parapet on the budget sheet, and then you get shot a few times. So you reduce your prices a little bit, and you just stay there, and that's it. Whereas I always found that for me, I used to be a developer. I then sort of specialized in SEO and digital marketing side of things. But for me, the thing that brought this all to life was not the building a WordPress theme. You could build a WordPress theme every day of the week, and you just become a monkey doing it. You know, you're just on a cycle, a conveyor belt. But actually getting into people's businesses and understanding what their needs are so that you can then become creative with the skills that you've got. That was the bit that excited me. So how it sounds like you're sort of channeling that, but with businesses of one or two people in a group setting. So how does that kind of work out?
It works really well. And maybe to add to what you were saying there, what I find a lot of the time when I'm working with micro businesses or sort of solopreneurs or independent business owners is it's not often the technical or the tactical or the technical or the strategic thing that holds them back, but it's often actually their own emotional hang-ups around certain things that they need to execute on. And especially when that's got to do with personal branding or becoming more visible. Everybody likes to hide behind the logo, and that just doesn't really work very well. And lots of agencies are quite happy to let you do that.
Yeah.
Because they're not really equipped to deal with emotional customers, customers that are scared, customers that are insecure or anxious or introverted. So a large part of my business is actually on that layer. It's not tactical or strategy. It's emotional. But once you unlock that, or even simply giving people that encouragement that often they need on a one-to-one, quite an intimate setting, doing that in a large group on a membership site, for example, is probably very difficult. But simply giving people the confidence to know that the action that they're about to risk is very likely to have a good impact for them, gives them permission to take that risk, expand their comfort zone a little bit, even temporarily, to try. And then when they see the success, there's a transformation.
Yep.
I think in marketing, we're often told to sell the transformation. And agencies very rarely do. They sell maybe the statistics. But for a micro business, it needs to be a personal transformation and not an external one.
Yep.
Because that then is sustainable. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question of what does it look like? But can you see where I'm, can you see what I mean?
I can, absolutely. So Bob and I are both part of a mentorship program for this year called the Upreneur Incubator. It's led by Chris Ducker. And one of Chris's big sort of principles is P2P, isn't it? People to people selling. And I know he's badged that into the Upreneur brand and the Upreneur sort of methodology, but I presume that's not quite what you're sort of advising for your micro businesses in terms of, you know, everything has to be about a business that is your name. But on the same note, if you are a micro business, people are doing business with you as Bob Gentle or Pete Everett or John Smith or whoever you are, regardless of actually what you call your business. You know, you can be the Amplify agency, but actually people are doing business with Bob Gentle, and it's breaking that personal boundary. And it is scary. It's an intimidating place to be. And you and I have, in our pre-chat, we were talking about you sort of developing your YouTube stuff, and it made me think about when I launched the podcast, and you feel like you're putting yourself out there, and you feel like a bit of a chimp, to be perfectly frank. But it takes somebody to sort of nudge you over that precipice to let you do it. And a few episodes in, all of a sudden things start to feel a bit more normal and you feel a bit more confident and you can start to see the results of things coming back. And they might not be massive results, but part of the thing about running a micro business is that you can also have micro results that then lead on to bigger results further down the line. So I guess I'm sort of talking around the same point.
I mean, what I'd maybe offer is a couple of examples that for me have really stood out. One is in my own experience in my own business, but I'll start with an example with a customer. Mm-hmm. If you're putting out content on social media, there are options available to you. You can talk about your customers. You can talk about sort of case studies, products, you can curate content from other people. That's all perfectly valid. And that's what most people do. If you scroll through any LinkedIn feed, you're going to find one of two things, stuff and people.
Yep.
However, the problem with the people one is there are probably two types of people in the world. Well, this is being really crude. They're introverts and extroverts.
Yep.
Very few people would actually categorize themselves as extroverts. I've done surveys. Even extroverts, if you ask them, are you an introvert or an extrovert? They'll say, I'm an extrovert. But the problem with social media is a lot of the people who are very comfortable being personally visible on social media, they're not people you would probably want to spend time with because they don't really have any self-consciousness in that regard.
Yep.
And again, I'm being very crude, but a lot of them are the kind of people that if you were to go to a networking event, would rush up, stick a business card in your hand and be off to the next guy. Mm-hmm. They're, look at me, I'm fabulous, everyone else is rubbish. Now, I'm being very crude, but if all the other people in the world that are quite anxious and introverted don't show up on social media in that way, they're missing out. Now, a good example is I used to work with a company that did IT equipment rental. Mm-hmm. And they had a brand new Mac available. It's like a $5,000 Mac. Nobody buys these things. They're used for doing special effects and 3D animation, things like that. So you rent them when you need them.
Yep.
And this company had them available to rent before everyone else. So they took a gorgeous picture of this Mac sitting on a desk. And it got a certain reaction through their email marketing and on social media. And there were a few sales. But what we suggested was, let's take that same picture of the Mac, but instead of having it on the desk, let's have one of you holding it and see what difference that makes. And the difference was spectacular because people engage with people on social media. They don't engage with stuff so well.
Yep.
So for me, that was a basic test of the impact of engaging with people over products.
Yep.
So if you take my own business, for example, I am one of these people that you would class as very introverted, despite appearances on the podcast and things like that. I struggle with being out in front. And for me, it's a discipline every day. It just needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And I recently got some help with my own social media so that the scheduling was all taken care of. And I also had accountability to sit down and plan the content ahead of time. But alongside that, I knew I wanted to be much more visible in my social media. And by that, I mean, instead of me taking pictures of things, it was pictures taken of me. Mm-hmm. And it feels really awkward. But I have never really had any... That's not true. But I haven't had much inbound sales activity through social media in general. But on Instagram specifically, never, nothing. But 5 months... No, not 5 months, maybe 5 weeks after getting some help and being consistently personally visible on Instagram, I had a sales inquiry from San Diego, which has converted into business.
Wow.
That I would never, ever have had before. And for me, that's the kind of thing that's the kind of shift I try and encourage customers to make, because you can see results very, very quickly through something as simple as turning the camera around.
Yep.
And that's emotionally quite a challenging thing to do for a lot of people. Again, I completely forgot what the question was. I'm very
sorry. Hey, don't worry about it.
But that's the kind of journey I'm trying to take people on. Yes, the technical stuff, the tactical stuff, the strategic and creative stuff, that's easy. But if you add in this X factor of you, at that level of business where it's quite a small business, that will give you this leverage, this amplification, this X factor that you can't buy, you can't subcontract or delegate.
Yep.
And for a tiny little business, it's potentially your secret weapon is you, and helping them understand that, yeah, some people might not like you. In fact, I'll tell you what, 1/3 of people will not like you. It's just a fact. 1/3 of people will completely ignore you. And 1/3 of people will really, really like you. But if you never express yourself, you can never play that ratio. And the more you bring, the more each of those three elements grows. But you have to focus on that element that really wants what you have and what you're bringing.
You're hitting upon another key thread there as well, which is that for the smaller businesses get, the more difficult it often is to say no to work. So by acknowledging the fact that of all people, there is a third that won't like you and a third that will just ignore you, means that you instantly have to accept that 2 out of every 3 people aren't the people that you're going to be working with. And as great as your business may be, or as great as you think your business may be, the right advice is that you need to be able to deal with that. You need to be able to park those 2/3 and concentrate on the 1/3. And okay, we're using thirds as metaphorical examples here, but you need to be able to accept the either the rejection or the ignorance, but not let that put you off, because there's still that group of people, and they're the group of people that are actually going to invest in you and your service or your product or whatever it is you're trying to sell them.
Yeah, that's right. And I think in my business, I've been guilty in the past of just seeing the pound signs and thinking, I'll just take your money. Mm. And it's very easy to sell digital marketing. There's very limited supply and there's huge demand. Some people might dispute that, but I could go out and sell £20,000 worth of digital marketing a month tomorrow, very easily. But these wouldn't be customers that I wanted to work with. They wouldn't be sustainable for me. Because what I know is they just want me to take away that pain of we're not doing anything on digital marketing. And I would find myself putting out crap on social media for the sake of it. And then in 6 months' time, when they're not making any more money, I'm going to get fired anyway.
Yep.
So I'd rather put my time into those customers who want to do things the way that I feel they should be done, because I know they'll see the long-term benefit and they'll stay with me. I think there are 2 kinds of people in the world. And I've said there are 3 types of people. There are 2 types of people. There's lots of perspectives you can bring. But there are those people who want to take painkillers when there's pain. And there are those people who want to look at good nutrition, health, and exercise. Mm-hmm. I want to work with those people that want to really build long-term success through the right things that build long-term health in their own business and their own marketing, rather than those people who just want the quick win of just make me number one in Google or just make me famous. It's and a lot of the time, actually, when I work with these businesses, their own business model comes into question as well. Because, you know, the 5 P's, 7 P's of marketing, the first one's product.
Yep. I think
it's
5.
If you've got that wrong, you probably have a problem or you're not fully releasing your potential. And a good example of this is a photographer who came along to my first Amplify group. She just wanted more photography clients. She's now pivoted that to effectively running sort of training workshops and with a view to building a membership site for people who want to be more confident on video.
Wow.
Which is a complete shift, not just in terms of service offering, but actually the fundamental business model underlying that, actually taking that to an online business model rather than a traditional offline analog business model, which is just a case of shifting more boxes. This is completely different boxes.
There's a couple of ways I could take this discussion right now. And I don't know if the next sentence is going to come out of my head is going to come out as a coherent question. There's a balance here between so a number of people listening to this podcast will be a service provider as opposed to a small business. And there's a balance here between being able to offer the right advice to the right people at a price point that can demonstrate value or worth. And if that isn't on a single client by client basis, then you've obviously made that into a group setting so that that becomes slightly more financially viable from your side of the desk, which that's absolutely fine. Versus educating rather than just simply being a service deliverer, allowing an element of education about your services so that those small businesses can own those discussions themselves, so that they have, they're a bit more empowered, they are a little bit more, they can drive that discussion a bit more. They're not going to get fleeced, because ultimately if somebody gets fleeced, then for a micro business, that could be curtains. That could be the end of their business, let alone the end of your relationship with them. So there's that balance between being able to offer services in a way that are valuable to customers, and don't be afraid by small customers. You just may need to rethink the way that you service them, and the education that you're putting out as part of your marketing and your positioning, et cetera, et cetera. Does that resonate with you've been doing?
Yes, it does. I think initially, I mean, I'll start with the commercial side of the decision that I made to focus on this particular niche.
Yeah.
When I'm working one-to-one with a client, I am not cheap. I'm charging £125 an hour, which to a lot of people, I know is probably quite a high hourly rate. Mm. And people will look at the micro businesses and go, well, why are you doing that if you can charge that to a big company? So I work with the micro businesses as groups, and any agency owner can do what I've done. It's maybe particularly I'm well suited to it because of my personality, but I'm no rocket scientist. Mm-hmm. The effective hourly rate when I work with the groups is something in the order of £500 an hour. So the commercial benefits of doing this are quite obvious to me.
Yeah.
But counterintuitive to most people. But when you actually do it, it makes perfect sense. You're also selling to a market that's hugely underserved. And what I've also found, which for me, any agency owner will be familiar with this, there's always an anxiety. Am I delivering value to my customer? Because the customer doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
They pay their invoice every month. That's how you know they're still happy. With the group customers, they are thrilled. They are delighted. They're engaged. They're spreading the word. They're out telling everyone, all these Amplify groups are amazing. You need to get into one of these. I've never experienced that before. And for me, that's huge. And that could be huge for anybody's agency. What it's also doing is, yes, it's empowering them to make their own decisions about what they do for themselves, but it's also empowering them to make decisions about how they go forward with subcontracting or delegating specific services, because maybe they need to work with somebody to do Facebook ads, because we've agreed for Facebook ads, it's important for them. Now, I don't do Facebook ads on a sort of one-to-one basis. I do it for some of my larger clients, but if you come to me and say, can you do my Facebook ads? The answer is no.
Yeah.
And this is where the original podcast has been fantastic. And possibly this is what gives me a good competitive advantage at the moment, is I have a network that is ridiculous within the industry. So if I want to point people in the direction of an SEO consultant that I can actually trust, or an illustrator, or a Facebook ads person, or of somebody that works on sales page copy, I know all these people.
Yep.
None of my competitors would know where to start with that. And so for my group clients, that has become a resource that I would never have expected. My podcast was originally intended to be targeted towards people like you. However, my group audience are now looking at this podcast as a valuable resource, because they can get an insight into our world they didn't even know existed.
Mm.
And all kinds of things have spun out of that. So I think I've answered the question, which is, what was the question?
So, well, no, it sort of didn't end in a particularly great question, to be honest. It was kind of balancing those two things between offering your services in a way that are accessible to businesses of varying sizes, but then balancing that with an education factor to do with,
yes,
equipping people to make good decisions for their marketing.
Well, this is pretty much where I am now. I think the podcast that I started was really geared towards the professional audience. I've kind of toned that back a little bit so that it's more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
but it's not really, you won't meet much of Bob Gentle in my current podcast because it's guest driven, much like yours. So only recently have I decided that I'm going to go in deep on the Amplify groups. That's going to be my main thing because it was an experiment. It's an experiment that's absolutely worked. And I think I want to really expand that out and make that effectively my main product slash life's work, because I love it. When I say I love it, I don't say that lightly. I've never said I love it about much in my business, but this I love. Now I've recognized that. And also the feedback that I've had is they love it. I'm very comfortable to now expand that out into my content marketing and be much more visible as Bob Gentle, bringing valuable educational content to the micro business owner. Because one thing I've been very aware of, you and I were at the Upreneur Summit last year, Chris Tucker's big conference, and Hal Elrod was a speaker there. And I'm pretty sure it was him that said, building your personal brand is a little bit like climbing a ladder, and it's quite a difficult ladder to climb. And the worst thing you could do is climb that ladder, realizing that ladder's up against the wrong wall. And I've been very aware of that, which is why I haven't really put much into my own content marketing other than the podcast. But now I'm confident about the ladder, the wall that I want the ladder up against, the game changes. I think the brakes are off. So I'm much more comfortable to take that personal risk on Facebook, on LinkedIn, Instagram, but more importantly on YouTube and also into the podcast to start putting my own take on things rather than bringing great guests.
That's brilliant. And you are living that balance, which I think is great. And it's very inspirational. And I think that the fact that you found yourself running towards a niche that most people would turn and be running against you is just brilliant. And you know, you've got, as you've demonstrated and explained, you've got a wealth of experience that you can draw on, be that contacts, be that actual tactical delivery strategy, etc. And actually putting that into a format that is accessible, I think it's absolutely brilliant. So thank you for sharing that with us. If people do want to reach out with you, I know you're a member of our Facebook group, but if people do want to reach out to you and get in touch with you, mate, what's the best way for them to do that?
You'll find me at Bob Gentle on just about every social media platform. Feel free to connect. I will definitely reciprocate. You'll find the website amplifyme.agency. And if other agency owners, practitioners want to speak to me about how I've done what I've done, very happy to share and walk them through the process of setting up their own equivalent. If there's any micro business owners listening, I'm very keen to continue building the groups. I would love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, I'll make sure there's show notes to a load of stuff. Make sure there's links to your stuff in the show notes, because that's the way that sentence should have worked. and thank you again, mate, for your time. We're going to be seeing each other again in like 5 weeks, which is awesome. So we'll have to have another beer. It's been brilliant. Thank you again.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. It's nice to be on the other side of the table for a change.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Thanks again, mate. Speak to you soon.